Within seconds, I was seated on the passenger side of Cookie's mustard-colored minivan. In my opinion, it was about the ugliest vehicle that had ever rolled off the sales lot, with its bullet nose front end and that ridiculously long windshield, but she adored that thing. When Thomas Jeffrey bought it for her birthday, she said it was an act of extreme romance, like in those novels she was always reading. He had brought it home with a big red bow on it. Thomas Jeffrey was a skinny little poke of a man with a balding pink head, thick black rimmed glasses, and a beak of a nose. But he would work extra hours at the sewing factory to buy things for Cookie. He was good to her, and for that reason I liked my brother-in-law. Cookie pulled out on the road. "I can't believe you'd do such a thing." "Start from the top," I said. He found an empty refrigerator box over behind the appliance center, and the sheriff says his mind snapped or something. He took off every stitch of his clothes and got in that box. She rubbed her temple. I thought she might cry. "You gonna be all right?" "I'm nervous," she said. I rubbed my fingers around the lid of the pickle jar, wondering for the first time why I had brought them. "Go on. What did the person on the phone say?" "Anyway, the sheriff says that Uncle Fawcett cut the hole in that box. He took right off down the middle of Main Street, hollering for everybody to get down because the Germans were coming. Oh, his mind is gone." She started sniffling. "How could we let this happen?" "It might not be as bad as it sounds," I said. "Maybe he had too much rabbit tobacco, or he got his hands on a stray bottle of liquor." It took us 20 minutes to reach Mercy. The town was built much like many towns in southeastern Kentucky, according to one of those old Scottish designs. A central courthouse sat on a hill, overlooking the surrounding land. Traffic went around this edifice in a circular fashion. All along the edges of the circle, sidewalks ran in front of storefronts that had stood there since the early 1800s. We parked in front of the bank and rushed across the street to the courthouse. I had my purse on my shoulder. It wasn't until we reached the courthouse door that I realized I still had that jar of pickles. Fearing the sheriff would think I was as mentally afflicted as Uncle Fawcett, I thought about setting them down, but on second thought, I wasn't about to walk off and leave a good jar of pickles on the courthouse steps. We went through the double doors, down the long, empty marble hall, then stopped in front of a door that said, "Sheriff Daniel T. Ransom," on a brass plate. I stepped in front of Cookie and pushed the door open. "You do the talking," she whispered. "We're here about Fawcett McCaughey," I said to the secretary behind the desk, a middle-aged lady with puffy cheeks, red lipstick, curly gray hair, and glasses. "Yes," she said in a nasal alto voice. She rose and waddled over to the door of the adjacent room. I could tell the other room was lighter than the one we were in because light shone through the door and reflected off the dark paneling. "Sheriff Ransom, Mr. McCaughey's nieces are here to see you." "Send them on in," the man on the other side of the door said. She opened the door wider and motioned for us to enter. As we crossed into the inner office, I saw the source of the light, two large windows, shades open, and a filing cabinet between them. The room was a beige color, and it smelled clean. I took soft steps, as if loud feet might get me thrown into jail right along with my uncle. A man in a brown sheriff's uniform, late 30s, maybe early 40s, with olive skin and distinct cheekbones, sat at a wooden desk, scribbling. He looked up at us, a wisp of dark hair falling across his forehead. Come in, ladies. He rose and motioned for us to take a seat on a padded bench in front of his desk. I stared at that man like a cow stares at a new gate. Small town sheriffs were not supposed to look like this. I suddenly remembered half a dozen jerks that had tormented my sister and me in high school, all of them lean and pretty like this guy. Where's our uncle? I asked. Is he okay? Cookie wrung her hands. Yes, yes, he's fine, the sheriff said. His voice, like his face, was smooth, even, and pleasant. His desktop was neat with a stacked mail organizer, a few manila folders, and a pair of wireframe reading glasses. I couldn't help but notice the to-do list lying right on top of the stack of folders. And I wondered what kind of man made a to-do list. Certainly not my husband, nor any of the guys down at the marina. I'm going to need you ladies to sign some papers before I can take you over to the jail to see him, and before I can release him into your care. Of course, I said. He took a paper from one of the holders and retrieved a pen. Now, what's your names? This was the part I always hated. This is my sister Cookie, I said. Cookie Thompson. He raised an eyebrow. Is that a nickname or a birth name? Birth name, I said. He wrote it down. And you? I clutched that jar of pickles, bracing myself for the usual reaction. Cupcake. He cocked his head, looked at me like I was a puzzle cube he couldn't quite figure out, and then he chuckled. Funny. Now, what are your real names? My real name, Cookie said in a kitten of a voice that did not suit her large body, is Cookie Thompson. Okay, he said. I believe you. He looked at me. But your name, my name, is Raspberry Cupcake McQuaid. There was a silence. Then he said, you expect me to write that down? Yep, he was shocked, all right. Just like every teacher I had ever encountered throughout my school days. And me, I was as nervous as a preacher in a whorehouse.